Welcome to the New Life Help Now podcast, where we give you professional help for your life now. We specialize in equipping you with usable life relationship tools that will help you in the workplace and at home. You'll find valuable information that will help you find peace with others and with yourself when you're all alone. Without further ado, the Life Help Now podcast. Hello, today is March 2nd, 2015, and we have a great show for you today in our podcast. We have Miss Brenda Dixon here in front of us, actually in front of me, and in front of you if you're listening. So you can visualize that. My name is Darren Dixon, and today is how to have a good relationship. So, Miss Brenda, how do we have a good relationship?
Well, Darren, I thought you would never ask. I have people come to me for couples counseling, and they usually come when they are in the repair stage and not the maintenance stage. Mm. And I say to them, wow, I sure would have liked it if we could have come together in the maintenance stage, because that's the stage that works. Mm. And that's the stage where you pace yourself and you enjoy where you are doing the little things to let the other person know that that they're important, that they're a priority. So when I get couples, I get the extreme, usually. I get people that are just almost not ready to talk to each other. And they're sitting in the same room with me. And they have to tell me what brought them there. So it's very difficult. So I was thinking, wouldn't it be good for the listener to learn how to have a good relationship? There's a lot more to it than I'm going to give to today, but...
Well, absolutely. You're saying that, and I'm thinking about my relationship with my wife and actually in my kids. You know, I'm thinking there's times that I feel like there's definitely room for communication improvement, and I'm sure that she thinks there's things that I can improve on, there's things that she can improve on, but to me, I'm a talker. You know, I said, all right, let's bring this out. Let's talk about this thing. So I'm interested to hear what you had to say today. So let's get into this. This is going to be good.
Well, the very first thing that that I notice with couples is they've gotten to the point which I call the repair stage.
Got it.
That they no longer spend time together. They endure, tolerate.
Uh-oh.
The environment. Like I said, these are the extremes. So if you can look at your life, whoever the listener, not just you, Darren, but the listener's life, if you can look at your life on a lesser scale and glean from this, that would be really very helpful to any person. So I would say the first thing is to learn to spend time together. Once a week, is your time alone with your mate, or your time alone with your child, or your time alone with whomever the relationship is. It could be girlfriend to girlfriend, boyfriend to boyfriend. It could be, you know, somebody that you enjoy talking to on the phone or being with. So if you go too many weeks without that connection, and of course, I'm talking in general terms, and you apply it, you plug it in,
right,
listener, to where you are. But if you go too long, you begin to lose a connection that you had, and then little things start to irritate you. And then you get a little bit testy around the edges. So I'm going to take you back to the maintenance stage. Maintain the relationship and try not to let 2 weeks go by without spending a little bit of time.
When you say a little bit of time, what is a little bit of time? And tell me, like, if I want to say, okay, yes, I need to do this, and I need to make a commitment to do this to make a difference in my relationship with my wife. What do I, how much time and how, I mean, what should I do that would be fair to give what you're saying a chance?
Well, I would say no less than 2 hours and 3-4 hours. And that's you and that person. And it could be a child that you're alone with. And it's something that you all have in common, something that you want to do together. Have brunch in a restaurant. Have a game night where you bring out an old board game that you hadn't played in years and you hadn't even thought about in years. And let's say it's just you and your wife and the kids are gone and you actually play that board game. Criteria, maybe have a small glass of wine and some really nice cheese and crackers. Just something to make it a little bit silly, but yet fun. Not expensive. And I'm not advocating drinking wine. I'm just saying have something that is like fun to connect with. You can have a spritzer.
It's therapeutic too, and it takes the edge off. I mean, red wine is healthy for you. I mean, you don't have to get smashed, but it just a little glass helps take the edge off and relax, and got those lycopenes doing good stuff.
Well, I'm just thinking something, it's kind of deliberate.
Right.
You're setting apart, like, everybody go, you all go in the other room. I don't know how you set it up, but...
Or a date night.
It could be a date night, and the date night could be as simple as we're not going to talk about the kids at all, or if you're with the kids, we're not going to talk about school at all. We're going to just do something for the two of us. And it's really healthy, because what happens is you begin to reconnect. And you lay down the things that were troubling you, or maybe troubling's a too big of a word for maintenance, but the things that you had to do to get through the day or the week. It just kind of clears the path. So spend time together once a week and enjoy. Here's the second part of it. That's one part of it. Here's the second part. Make sure you enjoy yourself separate from the other person. That's very healthy for any relationship. So you're going to spend time with your mate, or you're going to spend time with a child. And then you're going to teach the child to spend time by itself. And then you're going to spend time by yourself, separate from the other person. And that's doing something to regroup, to refresh, renew, so that when you come back to the relationship, you're fresh.
Okay, so it's... When you say spend time, is this like a daily thing by yourself, or is it...
No, just this is weekly. Make sure
And how much time by yourself?
Again, no less than 2 hours, and you can go up 2, 3, 4. It's a luxury.
You know what I'm thinking right now? You said 2 to 4 hours. Excuse me, I'm thinking, oh my gosh, I've just lost 4 hours out of my week. Now it's 8 hours out of my week, and I'm thinking, I've got 3 kids, so that's an additional 12 hours. So we're talking, close to 20 hours I just lost out of my week. I'm thinking, man, I didn't have enough time my week before.
Well, the thing about children, I know a lady who's 5 children, and you have to space that. They don't get it every week. One gets it like once a month, and so it's spaced out monthly, one-on-one. And somehow or another, if you spend time alone with the child, it's more like every week, it's more like you touch base one-on-one, eye-to-eye contact, like 15 and 20 minutes. If you have that large a family, you just have to pace yourself.
Yeah.
But back to the spending time by yourself or with yourself.
That makes sense.
That is so refreshing. You will go further if you do that than if you say, well, I'm not going to do anything this month. I'm just not going to do anything this month. You'll go a whole lot further. I had, when I was going to school, college years ago, I used to spend like 2 days studying tests. I mean, we're talking 12-hour days. Only time I would stop to get something to eat and run the bathroom, that was it. Boom, 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 boom. I just hit it. And I was almost blurry-eyed. And I was reading this article one day, and it said, out of every hour, take 10 minutes. Get up, walk away, lay your pencil down, and watch how you'll get more done than if you hit it hard 12 hours.
That's excellent. I try to do that. I do a lot of work with video production and audio production. And so I spend hours staring at the computer. But you get into it, but time flies. Like, bam, 2 hours is by, 3 hours by, and you don't even notice it. And then until your legs start getting real stiff. But I try to do that 10 minutes an hour thing, which I haven't tried very hard lately, but that's really good to go up, stretch, walk around, focus your eyes on something else. I think that's huge, isn't it?
It's really important. And it comes under the same theory of maintenance. So if you maintain yourself, if you really hit it hard 50 minutes and you rest 10 minutes, get up, walk away, look out the window, don't look at the piece of paper, don't look at the computer, and it refreshes you. It's the same thing with your relationship. I'm talking about equivalent. Mm-hmm. If you do it equivalent to the 10 minutes in the week, then the relationship thrives and it just grows. You keep the connection. That's the important thing, is to keep the connection.
Yep, that makes sense.
The next little tidbit to have a good relationship is to ask for what you want. Oh my goodness.
I'm big on that.
I have people that come to me and they just look at me like, what? How am I going to do that? I do that 12 hours a day. But they don't really know what they want, so they just kind of ramble. If you ramble, if you just kind of put a lot of disclaimers on what it is that's bothering you, if you didn't do this, and if that didn't happen, if my car wasn't ready and when I wanted it ready, if my car was ready when I wanted it ready, it goes on and on and on.
Yeah.
If a person knows what they want, then they can really ask for what they want. And this swings both ways. This swings with kids. Great thing to teach kids. What is it you're asking for?
Well, absolutely. If you want your kid to be obedient, then they have to know what the boundaries are. And they have to be consistent so they can stay in.
Yes.
If they don't know what the boundaries are, you haven't made that clear to them, how can they know what's right and what's wrong? And, you know, same way with, I can see that. That's big, important to me. How can I know how to please my wife, whether it's in the kitchen or in the living room or any room, if I don't know what she expects from me or what she would like from me, so we can discuss it and find out, you know, how to accomplish everything?
The method that you take to get to asking for what you want is to write it down in one clear sentence. If you can get what you want for that moment, I'm just talking about the moment, not a huge life destiny, well, I guess you could do that, mission statement, but if you can just write it down in one clear sentence, then it's easier to articulate when you get ready to articulate it.
I don't know if I can say anything in one sentence. One sentence.
That would be a challenge then, wouldn't it?
That's tough. Okay. Get me supper. Scratch my back. Come over here. Or, that didn't sound very good, did it?
No. You have to be careful not to demand. These are requests.
Oh. Will you allow me to rub your back? Can I get you something to drink?
There you go. Yes. Yes. But when you ask for what you want, you keep it in terms of I,
okay,
not you.
Give me an example.
I like fried chicken on Sunday afternoon after church. You can either cook it or we can buy it. I don't care, but that's one. That's a long sentence, but that is. Actually, it's probably two sentences.
I'm all about them long ones.
But I told what I wanted.
Okay, so the purpose is mostly to let them know what you would like.
Yes, and the other person can say, well, no, I have a roast beef planned. Well, you have to be prepared to take no as an answer. That's the part that's called an ask a question, asking a question. Now, if you demanded, by jiddly jingo, I want fried chicken. Well, if that's what you're doing, then you're making a demand.
And tell me the repercussions of a demand.
Well, you lose everything. You get a mate or a person that you're talking to that will cower and please you at any cost. Well, that's not healthy. You don't want cowering, and you don't want someone to return in like manner, just as demanding. So when you come to the place where you ask, you're telling where you are and what you would like to happen. And the other person has a right to say what they can or cannot do. Now, when that happens, then you go to the next place of what you're going to do about it. Let's say they say no. Mm-hmm. I have a roast beef plan. And so then you say, okay, well, next Sunday, I'm going to stop by a fried chicken place and get me some fried chicken. Does anybody else want fried chicken? So you're already making a plan to get right. what you want. And you're not devastated by not getting what you want when you ask for it, because you are able to take no for an answer.
Gotcha. Must be able to take no as an answer. Got it.
Be realistic with your expectations. A lot of clients will expect things their way. And if you have two people pulling in two opposite directions, there's just, something's broken. It's just broken. And it has to be repaired. And when you go to the expectations of what you're asking for and what you want and what you expect and let the other person know, then the two of you can negotiate and work on it together. Now we're talking about good relationships. We're not talking about where somebody rules over the other person and somebody is under them, just serving them, doing everything. We're not talking about that. We're talking about a good relationship where two people are co-laboring together under the same roof.
Unified.
Or, yeah. Or if they're not even living together, it's friendships, where friendships are co-laboring same way.
How would a friendship, to change the subject a little bit, how would a friendship co-labor? What would be a healthy friendship? A couple things that would be in a healthy relationship versus a couple things that are not in a healthy relationship with a friend.
An unhealthy friend relationship is one that someone talks to, let's say, talks to the other person, and they always talk about themselves. And they always have something that they want done. And they always...
So it's more of a take, take, take.
Yes. The healthy, good relationships are the ones where you reciprocate. One talks, and then the other one talks, and they share. And
it's a balanced give and take.
Mm-hmm. It really is.
Gotcha.
And there are exceptions where maybe one person has something that they really need at one time, and it's not time for the other person. And anybody that's in a good friendship can lay themselves down for a time. But here's the problem. If it goes on all the time, something's out of balance.
Right.
That's the part that needs to be rearranged.
So one person can't always, like having a really needy friend that just wants to dump on you all mm-hmm. the time and unload their garbage on you.
Mm-hmm. And people that are in a really dark place, it's just hard for them to pull themselves up. And a friend may have to help them out of that dark place, but it's when the dark place goes on for a long period of time, then something's out of whack.
Right. It's not just that one isolated mm-hmm. situation.
Yes.
It's a pattern.
Yes.
Okay. Relationships. This is good. Nuggets for everybody to put in their wallets, put in their pockets, to make relationships more valuable and less toxic.
Let's talk about conflict resolution a little bit. When clients come to me, many times they have hit a wall. And in that wall, they say, well, she said this. And he puts his hand on his hip and says, well, I can't do what she said. And then she does the same thing. Well, he said this, and I can't do what he said. And so they just bounce back and forth, and they don't go anywhere at all with their they can't resolve any of it. And when they get to the place where they start pointing their finger at each other, they've lost all ground. They have no longer.
It's spiraling.
Mm-hmm. It's dangerous. Then, I mean, we're inches away from some kind of break. It's already broken. The relations already begun to break, but we're at a place where it really is beginning to break apart, where they maybe can't even be together. So I just think to resolve in a quick measure, to resolve conflict, a person really has to know what it is they want, and they have to listen to what the other person wants. And I'm not sure in this podcast if we're going to have too much more time to talk about conflict resolution.
Right. We'll probably have to touch on that on next week. So in conclusion, or as a summary of some of this kind of stuff we've talked about, what could we kind of recap on what we went over this week about how to have a good relationship?
Well, I would say to the listener that treat your relationship like a car. Have regular tune-ups. And
scheduled maintenance.
Mm-hmm, scheduled maintenance. And don't wait till it's in repair mode.
Don't wait till the lights are coming on.
That's right. It is not good. Exactly. And so I think if a person looks at their 7-day week and analyzes it and decides whose turn is it for me to connect with, then they'll start to go into a healthier relationship and begin to have good relationships.
So the tip of the week, if I may, would be to find some one-on-one time with that person, a minimum of 2 hours, just to set aside without distractions to connect.
That's right.
Between 2 to 4 hours.
That's right.
And just put that into your schedule from now on.
Mm-hmm. That works.
And is that like over the phone or just in person? Or
it can be whatever. Because the whole goal is to connect. You know, if we're talking friend to friend, it might be a phone. It might meet for lunch. If it's a spouse, it might be more in depth than a phone, of course. And if it's a child, you would focus on what the child needs. So it would be important to do your tune-up based on who the person is that you're connecting and reconnecting to.
And your role.
And your role, yes.
With that person. Okay. Well, there you have it, folks. Now you know a couple more things that'll help you to develop and keep a good relationship. And that is valuable. Everybody has, you know, unless you're the only person in the world, you've got a relationship.
That's right.
And you've got a whole bunch of relationships and connection with your closer friends or spouse or whoever that significant person is on a regular basis helps maintain and keep that going. And that's wisdom. We have Miss Brenda Dixon over here, and my name is Darren Dixon. And yes, we are related. This is my mama, and I'm proud of her. And we're excited about getting this podcast out to you. Remember, you can see us at lifehelpnow.com, and Brenda Dixon is available for phone consultations. And so visit the website and schedule something with her. Her rates are real affordable. And tell us real quick what your credentials are.
I'm a licensed clinical social worker. I have a master's degree in social work.
And she is an expert in relationships. So there you go. Thank you so much, everybody, for tuning in. Tune in next week. Share this with a friend. We're giving these podcasts away for free. So we want everybody to take advantage of this and also spread the word. Let other people find out about this. So until next time, God bless you, and we'll see you next week. Thank you for listening to the Life Help Now podcast. Please subscribe, and if you like what you hear, write a review and share it with a friend. Visit our website at www.lifehelpnow.com and send us an email and questions on what you would like answered on future podcasts. Miss Brenda Dixon is also available for phone consultations. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next week.